Welcome to Career Tools. 2021 Recruitment Update, Part 1. Here we go. Questions that this podcast can answer. What's happening in the job market right now? A lot. Mm-hmm. What opportunities are there for me right now? Well, it depends, but more than ever. And what do you need to know right now? One of the things that has definitely hurt retention has been people being remote. And companies discovering that they can conduct virtually every job search on a nationwide basis rather than on a geographically limited basis. One way that you can help your retention is to become really effective at managing people remotely. It's much harder. And that's why we have a virtual effective remote manager training session. And our next one is coming up on August 24th. I will tell you, they do sell out the virtual ERMs because so many managers don't even know the Trinity, let alone the Trinity remotely. But that's what we'll talk about and we'll get into in detail. So virtual effective remote manager on August 24th. Come to the website and sign up. I'm here with Wendy Lord, our career tools expert, and we're going to talk about a topic that we talk about every year. And it's a very interesting year, certainly not what we thought we would be in the year that will not be named with a number, the pandemic year, the plague year, last year. Good.
I keep hearing people call it the panini.
The panini.
It's an Italian sandwich.
Yes, but I understand, but that's like saying it sounds a bit like a doorknob. I don't understand.
No, what just because it begins with P, I think, and
oh.
Like pandemic, but they don't want to say the word.
That just makes me feel good about people's creativity.
Indeed.
Not necessarily about their intelligence. Okay. So, Wendy, once a year we do a resume update and we give timeless, not timely advice, but people are always asking us about things they read relative to resumes and so on. And these last 18 months have been so strange and the employment market is so interesting right now, we thought we would give you guidance for the second half of 2021. Now, look, there are broader economic trends we need to consider. And so we want to mention those so that when you see them again, you'll know what that will likely mean for the employment market. And look, although we're discussing the situation in the U.S. right now, for the most part, you can extrapolate for trends you're seeing wherever you are. And you know, the example I would use is we got an email from somebody in Australia this morning, and Australia is in a very different situation lockdown-wise than the U.S. is. U.S. is struggling with coming out of lockdowns and masking and so on, and the market is hot, but perhaps not so hot in Australia because companies are still wondering about the economic impact of governmental restrictions relative
to— So they're probably 6 months behind and—
Yeah, could be. Yeah, the panini has affected them differently than us. Okay, good. So, take us through the outline.
So, things we want to mention. Demand for candidates is high.
Yes.
Wages are not yet rising. Pre-searching is the new open to opportunities.
Pre-searching, that's what they call it?
Pre-searching, yes.
Yeah, no, that's, yeah.
Economic upheaval means consolidation. Employer brand matters, and the churn will continue.
Okay, so let's get to it. Demand for candidates is high. I think we ought to start with some economic context.
Yes. So during the panini, many organizations reduced the number of employees that they had.
Right.
Not just the obvious things like hotels and restaurants, but sort of across the economy. Eventually, it may not have been immediately, but you know.
Well, you know, it's funny. When you say across the economy, you know, people, I'm waiting on something to be done at my house, and there's a supply chain problem. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the world's supply chain goes through China right now, which has had a different experience, but in some ways similar. But supply chains have been enormously disrupted. And so companies, I have a good friend who works at Caterpillar, a very senior guy, and he's like, we don't sell a lot of equipment, we lease it, and we make money on our selling of parts and services and supplies, and we can't get parts. So that's affecting us. So even though sales are booming because people didn't buy last year, we're not making any money on parts sales. When he says sales, he means leasing, the big equipment. So across the economy, it's kind of funny. People say, well, this industry's been affected, but not that one. I say, well, yeah, everything gets more and more interconnected every year. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
So even the companies that didn't actually let people go, they would have they reduced their size by using natural attrition. So when somebody left or somebody, you know, went on maternity leave, they didn't replace those people, and that way they reduced their labor force and the cost thereof. And, you know, during uncertain times, companies don't backfill roles; they just cope. But in the last month, the restrictions have rapidly been reduced and then been removed altogether, and then in some places put back a little bit. But the demand from everything, for printers to vacations, is high again. And companies are not ready to service the demand because they don't have the labor.
Right. Yeah.
And you can't hire a lot of people in a month. Even, you know, jobs where, you know, like builders, construction people, you'd think, oh, yeah, they just line up at Home Depot, right? Well, no, actually, construction is really hard to get people right now. And you just can't do it. It's like the old joke, right? If it takes one woman 9 months to have a baby, how long does it take nine women? The answer is not 1 month. You know, you need resources, but it doesn't matter how many recruiters you have, hiring people you have, people doing onboarding, it still takes time. And the increase in consumer demand has been so fast, and the lack of workforce growth has, over the 18 months, has kind of come together to mean companies just can't service the demand, and there's a large number of vacancies.
Yeah. So there's a lot of vacancies. There's a lot of demand. Many managers who would love to be hiring are also dealing with an overload of their own work, just processing demand for products, not processing demand for candidates. And so it's interesting in the market. Yeah. The other thing that's been interesting is the quit rate. People who quit their jobs in any month. It's been increasing steadily for a while. When the pandemic started, it dropped, obviously. People were scared. There was a bit of a flight to quality, right? Meaning brands, which we'll talk about later, were okay. But now people are quitting again. In fact, you sent me something recently that I scoffed at. I think you pre-scoffed me. You said, can you believe this? In which you found a blogger out there, a reminder that the cost of entry, the barrier to entry on saying things about careers on the internet is zero. Someone saying, you should quit your job. Everybody's doing it. Which reminded me of my parents. And when I said, oh, everybody else is going. Yeah. One, you're not everybody else's kid. And two, if they said jump off a cliff, everybody was jumping off a cliff, would you do that too? Yeah. So the quit rate is going up because a lot of people are stupid. There are other reasons, and some of the quitting is legit. But yeah, and that means there are more candidates in the system. Now, the beauty of that is with more candidates, the more prepared candidate wins more often. That's good. So, okay, so what does all this mean?
So that means if you are looking for a new role, then you're likely to have an abundance of roles to apply for and interview for. I looked up, somebody asked me about military recruiting at Amazon, and I happened to look at their website. They had 39,000 jobs open.
I thought you were talking about recruiting to get people into the military.
No, Amazon recruiting military people, and it was worldwide, but 39,000 jobs, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And it doesn't necessarily mean that new roles will be easy or easier to get just because there's a lot of them. Because in normal times, when the demand is high for candidates, the job search time shortens because it's easy for candidates to find a job that really fits them. And so they do less interviews and, you know, the whole job search is shorter. But in 2021, although the demand is high, the number of candidates is high as well. And so when there's a high number of applications, it takes employers longer to sift through the resumes and find the person and do the phone screen and so on and so forth. So that doesn't make any getting an offer any easier. And the data I saw for early 2021 says that those two forces are kind of balancing each other out.
The average job search.
Yeah, it's 5 months, the same as it normally is.
Yeah, it must be frustrating. People are thinking, I'm reading all this stuff about how great a market is, but I don't seem to be getting any traction.
Right.
But you're getting about the same traction. You're assuming more traction because of the more openings, but in fact, with more demand and more tumult, as it were. Yeah, okay, that's good. That may be the most interesting thing about this cast, that the average job search is the same historically as it has always been. Yeah. 5 weeks, five months, which is 20 weeks. Yeah. Good. All right. What does that mean about quitting again, though? You had an opinion about that.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't take high demand for candidates across the economy to mean that quitting without money saved or another role to go to or without plans is any less risky than any other time.
Really? Really? How did you draw that incredibly scintillating conclusion?
some people will tell you to quit based on the color of the paint in the break room.
Yeah, yes, I think that was in that thing.
We read that on LinkedIn, of all places.
Yeah, if you're a person who quits because of the color of the paint in the break room, please don't apply to me or any of the people that I know. I mean, seriously, let's get our priorities in order, folks. So.
And one of her points of saying like, oh, quit, it's fine, was the candidate market is hot, which it is, and the gig economy is booming, which it is. Both are true, but that doesn't mean that you can't be hurt if we say to you, just quit. Because yeah. And our standard is not,
you might benefit.
You'll be okay. Our standard is, will you be hurt? And if you'll be hurt, we're going to tell you not to do it.
Yeah.
Or at least we're not going to tell you. You know, you could quit and walk into another job, but it's not going to happen for most of the people.
Yeah. So give me a number. 30% of people could quit and find another job?
Oh, God, no. 3.
Oh, 1/10. Okay, good.
Yeah.
That's a good number.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really low.
Yeah. So what we're saying is, don't change your risk tolerance, right?
Yeah, your risk tolerance should be the same as it always was.
Yeah.
And for some people, that's higher and some people, that's lower. But don't take some lady on the internet to make it, you know, change it. Even us, even me, yeah. is a lady on yeah. the internet.
No, you're different. We've been doing this for 16 years and we have millions of listeners and followers. So, yeah.
So you're the manager tools guy. So what does it mean for managers?
Yeah. So first of all, you ought to be thinking about retention. It's my bugaboo. When I retire, one of the things I'll say I'd never convince people of is how managers are way more important than they realize. And you ought to be publicizing and talking about retention a great deal more. So take one of your one-on-ones this month and talk to your directs about their plans for the future, what you think they can do, what they can become, what they want. Maybe a little bit of a Venn diagram drawing. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with saying the market is hot right now. Nothing wrong with that at all. In fact, it's good that you mention it.
Like acknowledge it. Like
yeah, acknowledge
the elephant in the room kind of thing.
Yeah, I don't want to say anything about that because they might not know it. Yeah, trust me, they know. The Romeo and Juliet, one of my favorite sort of, what would we call it? It's an
allegory.
Allegory, gnomon. I'm thinking gnomon, I think it's a Latin word for it. The Romeo and Juliet situation. You have a plan for one of your directs that they would have loved to have heard about, but them not knowing and finding another job. For those of you who don't know what I mean by Romeo and Juliet, if you're familiar with Shakespeare, which you ought to be because it's literature, in the play, Romeo and Juliet, about 5 minutes before the end of the play, they're both alive. And then I always get this wrong, but I'm pretty sure that it's Juliet. She's on the slab. She has taken a draft to make her appear dead. Romeo comes in thinking that she is dead and kills himself. And then she wakes, realizes he's dead, so she kills herself. And, you know, had it gone just a little bit differently, they would have ended up together. And too often, you know, you could make a case that that's due to a lack of communication. Look, don't do what so many managers do and say, oh, I can't offer more money. Yeah, okay. And look, if it comes down to it and they say, I want more money or I'm out, maybe you've talked to your boss and your boss, maybe you go back to your boss and say, they've told me point blank, if you don't offer me more money, I'm out. If I were your boss, I would say, fine, let him go. On the other hand, in a pinch, maybe your boss will relent. But frankly, let him go. If they don't see you as a manager, if they don't see retention, if they don't see a career path, and they would all see that, they would see all that because you communicated it to them, and it's all about money for them, you're always going to have a problem with money with that person. And frankly, hopefully you know this, listening to this cast and hopefully Manager Tools and maybe even Executive Tools these days, you'd be surprised how much money most people would forego for a manager who cares and who is working with them to create a future, co-create their future. And you know, it's, there's nothing wrong with telling people, I don't decide who gets promoted, somebody else does. But you need me to help you plead your case, and you and I need to be on the same page. And that's part of the beauty of one-on-ones. It's always there ready. Any given week, you can say, you know what, retention is important enough now. There's none of these details I was going to talk about this week during my portion of the one-on-one that are as important as, how you feeling? A lot going on. And I just had a conversation with a guy, an information security guy. Pretty hot market right now. Mm-hmm. It was hot before the pandemic, and then there's been cyber attacks during the pandemic, and there hasn't been a lot of movement, and so it's even hotter now. And I said, geez, you know, you have a plethora of opportunities. And if you're ready to make a move, you can do that. But do it smartly. Don't jump. As well, for managers, expect, unfortunately, longer hiring cycles. It may not seem to make sense to you, but the more candidates in the market, the longer it takes to find the right candidate. And companies are rapidly figuring out they've got plenty of applicants. Build your bench now. You should be reaching out to people that you know that you've been thinking about. The simplest way to shorten your hiring cycle is to know who you'd want to interview and to already know their strengths and weaknesses so that when you even get an inkling of something, you reach out to a friend and say, you know, we've been talking about this and I think you'd be great for it. I think it'd be good if I had your resume in my hand right now. Doesn't mean that's the person you're going to hire. You're not making any promises, but it'll get you there a lot quicker than if you don't have a bench at all. Folks, if you're thinking about moving, whether you're a manager or you're an individual contributor, you're going to get interviewed. And if you're going to get interviewed, you certainly oughtn't do it without having studied our interviewing series. I think there are over 50 podcasts in the series, 20 of which are basically behind the paywall. If you're a licensee, you get the interviewing series as part of your license. I don't know why we did that, a $150 product that's included in a $200 product, but we did it. So I strongly encourage you to get a license so that you'll have the interviewing series. And that way, the next time you interview, you'll be completely prepared and you'll send us one of those notes that we're always getting that say, you're not going to believe it. I closed and I got an offer and it worked. And we write back, why wouldn't we believe it? And we want you to be successful in your transitions. And there are too many people who would be great in their next role and they don't do well in the transition. It's because they don't study enough for the transition. So come to the website, become a licensee. Thanks. Okay. You said something that I really want to get into, which is wages are not yet rising.
Right.
Because there's plenty of stories of people, there's salary pressure on organizations.
Yeah. So the normal economic response to a shortage is a rise in prices. So if there's a shortage of apples, apples go up in price. That's
yes.
Economics 101, which is the only thing right. I passed. But when there's a high demand for candidates, wages normally rise because wages are the price of labor.
Right.
But the rise in wages is a lagging phenomenon. A lagging thing.
A lagging phenomenon.
Thank you. I only have you here to say my words.
No, yes, that's
I'm kidding.
Right.
In that it happens after demand has been high for some time. At its simplest, employers will make offers at the prevailing rate initially. They can't hire at that rate, either because they can't get qualified candidates to interview or they can't get them to accept an offer. They'll raise the rate they're offering.
Yep.
And that happens one by one, offer by offer across the world. But the market consolidates that into the prevailing rate.
Yeah. And demand hasn't been that high for that long.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So that means that employers are still making offers at the March, April 2021 prevailing rate. And it will be a few more months of the same situation where the demand is high before enough people are making offers at a higher rate that the prevailing rate rises.
That said, is it safe to say that somebody who wants to discard our guidance about not negotiating is maybe at a little less risk for asking for more money right now? I think we'd have to say yes.
Yes, you'd have to say yes, but I think it depends so much on the person receiving that on the other side of the negotiation, much more than economics.
Yeah. Okay, good.
And there's another step that employers can take before they raise wages, and that is they can offer bonuses. So signing bonuses, either paid immediately or after 6 to 12 months, are a better way for employers to give people an incentive to start work with them because they're only paid once. If you pay someone a $10,000 bonus for starting at the company, the following year you don't have to pay that $10,000 and it's not counted when you do their 3% increase.
Yeah. I also think the reason I made the point about, gee, there's news to the contrary, is that people are reading about small business owners, even, you know, fast food restaurants offering $100, $150, $200 signing bonuses, which might make you think, oh, nobody wants to work there. Actually, that's not the case. They're just responding to the pricing mechanism, which is one of the most important economic principles in the history of humankind. And in what's happening is those places, the lower end of the market, got shut down. And many of their people decided, I don't want to go back to that industry.
Right.
And so the demand there is high, but the supply is low. And that's why you see that. In other places, in the vast majority, the demand is high and the supply is high. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, we have an evening out, as you've been suggesting.
And the other thing about markets and economic employment markets is they are very lumpy is the word I call it. So like you say, fast food in a big city, that they might be paying bonuses because they can't get enough people. Whereas, you know, some other job, I don't know, supermarket managers in rural areas, they probably aren't because it's a different market.
Yeah. Well, whenever you say supermarket managers, I always laugh because I routinely used to ask people questions to help them. They were saying things like, well, I need more money or I deserve more money or this and that. And I would say to them, hey, how much do you think a Walmart store manager makes? And they say, oh, $90,000 a year. I said, nope, $250,000 with a chance of bonus of another $250,000. And I said, the reason I tell you that, and that, by the way, that was several years ago, is because you have no idea how salaries work. You have no idea how companies see it. And I would argue many managers and individual contributors, even though they are on the receiving end of the salary offer, the compensation discussions and compensation calculations, they lose all of that perspective when they go out on their own looking for roles. Mm-hmm. About the only people who are really knowledgeable tend to be executives. It's amazing to me how we are both deliverers of, through offers we make, and recipients of, through offers we receive, salaries, compensation, with compensation information attached to them. And how often managers, when they are a candidate, completely forget about what they just did for the last 2 years in terms of how companies work relative to compensation. It's like a scotoma. It's a blind spot that
professionals have. There's a cognitive bias, which is if I made it, it's more valuable. So like if I make an IKEA cabinet, I think it's more valuable because I made it. Right. IKEA made it and I put it together. And it's kind of like that. It's you know, all the time I'm talking about someone else's salary, I can be rational. When it's mine, well, I'm more valuable.
I'm pretty great. I don't know if you've checked. Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah. Okay. What does that mean for people's careers right now?
So the important part of what we just said for any individual is the explanation that offers are made one by one. While there's a prevailing rate for any role, the specific rate for a specific role in a specific company in a specific geography can be quite different.
Yeah.
And what you get offered and what you could get based on what you see and hear and think can be thousands of dollars, even tens of thousands of dollars apart.
I would like to comment a step further on this. A lot of people are getting their information from what I'll call news, and then I'll call, I won't call it fake news, I'll call it quasi-news. And the news media is designed to, because it's a capitalistic system, not to tell you what you need to know, but to tell you what will attract your eyeballs. This is quite similar to social media. On your social media feed, folks, they're telling you what they think you want to read so that you will spend longer there so they can make more money off of you, because the reason the service is free is because you're the product. They're selling you and your attention to advertisers and making trillions doing it. And you have to dig deeper than that, because your understanding of the marketplace and what you might be worth and whether or not wages really are going up is a misapprehension based on the media saying, well, it's not interesting to tell a story about a plane that lands on time and safely, so we tell you about the plane that crashes. We tell you about the ones that are really going up. Look at this McDonald's. They're offering a ton more money. Well, in fact, six of the kids that work there were on a high school football team, and it's now summer football schedule. And unfortunately, the typical replacements are not available, and they're literally thinking about closing during some of their hours, which, by the way, McDonald's corporate would not like at all. And so they're willing to pay almost anything to take a significant hit just to stay open. But that's the story that makes the news, not the one 10 miles away, which the high school football team does not frequent, and they don't have football players on the they're drawing from a disadvantaged community or whatever, and those jobs are precious to them. And so these are kids in high school who are helping their families survive, and they don't have a problem. But they don't talk about that McDonald's. They talk about the other McDonald's. And folks, please don't write me and tell me I used an example of McDonald's. I love McDonald's. It's clean. The food's good. I love McDonald's.
So that there's a principle for the average investor, which is it's better to make consistent small investments over years into a fund that buys a range of stocks rather than trying to pick a single stock that produces
dollar cost averaging.
Yeah, but produces a sudden return. And that principle is built on the fact that most of us don't have the skill or the knowledge to play the markets, even the people that think.
Actually, what you meant to say was all of us.
All of us,
save 0.1% who are always on TV.
Exactly.
Yeah. The people who are telling you how they can make you rich, they want your money.
That's how they got
yeah.
rich.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And in the same way, most of us don't have the knowledge or the skill to play the salary market.
Completely agree.
Instead, it's better for us, normal people, to have a benchmark of what we're willing to accept for the work that we're being asked to do based on our expenses, our skills, our experience, our preferences for the type of work and the company and the manager and all of that stuff. And it's better to have that benchmark and say, does this offer hit my benchmarks, hit the things I want? Is it enough for me? Than to say, oh, well, I'll play this offer against another one, or I'll tell this person this, and, you know, and or try and find a job like Jump Now just because, you know, the news told you, oh, salaries went up 10 grand yesterday. It's just.
Yeah, numpty.
You know, you'll hear of people getting 30 and 40% raises. That hasn't been offered to you. And what gets reported is exceptional, is what you just said, right?
Yeah, yeah. That also means that asking for a massive raise right now based on the increase in prevailing rates is not likely to work either. And so our guidance in our previous cast asking for a raise still stands, and it stands in any economic situation. Okay, so now you're going to turn it on me and say, what does this mean for managers? Yeah. So be ready for your directs to ask for raises. By the way, I think we have a cast for that too,
which
we say the first word of the cast is no. That's a little bit tongue-in-cheek, folks. We don't mean to suggest. Hopefully you have a good enough relationship with your folks. Your folks are going to see the news headlines, and they're going to say, oh, demand is high and wages are rising. And so it's a good time to ask for a raise. Hopefully you've done the proactive retention work we recommended earlier, and that will prevent this conversation. Won't prevent, but it will reduce the chances as this happens. We have a three-part cast about what to do when your directs ask for a raise, and we recommend you listen to that, or if you're a licensee, save yourself some time and read the show notes, and the conversation might be coming. And all you have to do is read it once, and you're like, okay, I'm comfortable, and I know how I'm going to apply this differently to Sarah, to Kate, to Wendy, to Maggie, to whomever. The pressure on prices of goods and services, as well as of labor, is likely to put pressure on your cost of goods sold and your margins. You're probably having to pay more to expedite stuff. You're probably paying more to ship things in smaller lots to get stuff to you because you have most loved customers that you've promised you'll move the heavens and earth for. Basically, the cycle of production means that a company has to purchase goods and services before it can sell them and gain income. So that puts twofold pressure on your budget. The cost of everything is rising, and you're having to purchase at a higher rate using the funds you've accumulated previously. Lots of companies barely broke even during COVID, and they did so because they cut their costs to the bone. So those funds may be limited. Do not let your foot off the gas of race, don't chase just yet. And if you don't know what I mean by race, don't chase, there's a podcast for that as well. One of my all-time favorite casts, and almost nobody writes me about it. And it is, when I heard about it the first time 25 years ago, I thought, ah, that's the smartest, coolest thing I think I'd ever heard. Of course, at the time I was 30, so. But I still think fantastic. One of my 10 favorite casts, yeah. Don't increase your budget for you as a manager, right? Or don't anticipate it increasing for the next 6 months. And you ought to be asking yourself, what have I lived without? And could I not just keep on living without it for another 6 months and do that? That's it for this week, folks. Hope you've been enjoying it. And we'll finish this up next week with part 2. See you then.